SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline with the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching this, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget, act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Yes, the best hour of your day now is officially underway. It is a Monday right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Donnie Wrightside here. Maybe joined by Kevin Walsh. We never know at this point now. Mondays, you know, a lot of people working extra hours over the... Oh, okay. Now we're back in it. All right. We're logged in. No computer issues that to be said here. Eagles hat on. Glasses on. Don't even know if they're corrective lenses in there. Just fashion statement. But it's Kevin Walsh here. Let's go.
Oh, I can't see it. Well, no, I can see without them better than you would think, but...
You wear contacts?
I still need them. No, I don't think I can do contacts.
Yeah.
They got to be out at a certain time, and I don't know. In and out process looks confusing.
It's horrible.
I don't know. LASIK blows my mind. Did you say you had LASIK, or did I make that up?
I got LASIK in 07. I got LASIK. I couldn't see anything. Played my whole high school career, college career without glasses, squinting at everything like I was Jameis Winston back in the day. Couldn't see a damn thing. Amazing. I was a wide receiver and outfielder at that point, but yeah, life changing in 07 when I did get it. So I've had it for almost, you know what, 18 years now. Best decision I ever made. Couldn't do it again, but it's the best decision I've ever made.
Now, but why couldn't you do it again? Because of the process?
I know what the procedure is. Like, I'm the type of guy, like, oh, yeah, contacts where I had to get the hard lenses when I was in high school, which were almost impossible to try to train your eyes to. And then you would lose one, and then it would take, like, you know, 3 weeks back in the day in the 90s to get something new. And you retrain your eyes again. Couldn't do that there. Wore glasses a lot, like, in the classroom, like, just to, like, see the board. Tried to wear glasses like during like baseball as like a younger kid, like with like the rec spec type of thing. Just real conky at that point. So just did away with it. And then I used to go, again, Philadelphia Eagles games, had to wear glasses every time I went because I couldn't see the field. And then I remember getting the surgery in 07 during the football season. I got, I think, maybe in September, October, the first game back where I could not wear my glasses. It was like, what have I been missing my whole life? This is outrageously awesome. So there it is.
Yeah, I don't think I can do contacts. I should have had glasses earlier on in life. I think I was still like, I don't know how those will look, right? A little nerdy, all those silly things. Man, I wish I went back and got them sooner because I think back to, here's the other thing. Just, you know, you get sat alphabetically, Donnie, in high school, right?
Yep.
Walsh. A lot of times I was sitting in the back row. Yeah, I mean, we couldn't see a thing. We couldn't see a thing, man.
Now, is it true, like in Catholic school, since you pay to go, like you can just get away with anything you want? They can't throw you out of school because they want that paycheck. Is that true?
Not from my own experience in terms of behavior, but like you say it, I think around. I mean, people were tossed out, but certain activities, certainly, maybe in a stricter situation, you'd be like, no, come on. We can't be dealing with that. So maybe.
There you go. Right from the horse's mouth there. But by the way, from the horse's mouth, what an unbelievable weekend. Unbelievable college basketball, depending on which side you're betting and handicapping on. Because yesterday, technically some snooze fest out there. Michigan State did get close, but it really was arm's length the entire way. Houston beat the brakes off of Tennessee yesterday. Crazy defense. On to the Final Four. And I was just thinking, Kevin, like next weekend we have all number ones. And we talk about it sometimes, you know, 3-hour college basketball shows, one game, a lot of time to fill. And I really wanted to send a tweet today where like just complete like changing of emotions. Did the NIL really help us to get a better college basketball product? Did it really do that? Like it's going to upset like the mid-majors, which I used to enjoy. Used to bet them a lot. It was always intriguing when they got to the tournament. But now that we're at that like pay-for-play level, same way that we were in COVID, where it was like, well, Big Ten doesn't feel like playing. And I remember saying, and people get angry at me, if just the SEC played, I wouldn't care if the rest of college football just fell off the face of the earth. I just want to watch the best teams and the best players, and that's all I want. And it feels like, Kevin, I'm now getting that in college basketball.
So you're getting it this year because we have all the number ones. Donnie, I ask the people to just stop being so darn lazy in their analysis. Mm-hmm. Ugh, NIL. All right, so let's look at the teams. Auburn. Yeah, it's because they ran the team back and they're all 25. That's the reason, that's what's helped Auburn, right? If it was all Portal and NIL, they wouldn't have been able to run that team back. They did. What do we also hear? Man, can't do a freshman anymore. Well, what's the Duke story? All freshmen. Three guys that are going to get selected in the lottery. Tyrese Proctor came back from school, never put a jersey on anywhere else. Oh, the Portal, Duke got Cyan James. Go ahead, lie to me that you know who that kid is before a month ago. Wasn't even a starter. Yeah. Yeah, Mason Gillis was the big acquisition, Don. He can't even crack the rotation out of Purdue. Okay, so boom, check that box. How about Florida? Yeah, you mean Walter Clayton, who is never staying at Iona? Walter Clayton, who left Iona the wide, Donnie, because their coach left, which is what happens nonstop, NIL or not. Okay, so then what's left? Houston. Yeah. Every single kid on Houston you've been familiar with for it feels like about 7 years. The whole team's Perry Ellis. Juwan Roberts has never missed a Houston game in my entire life. Manny Sharp has been there for ages. Okay, they grabbed LJ Cryer out of Baylor. But to me, like looking at this Final Four going, oh, NIL. I don't know what these people are talking about. I have no idea what these people are talking about.
It's not even just the Final Four, though. Like, I don't, the evolution of sports fandom does change in people's lives, and sometimes, you know, younger, older, and I always go through this. There was a time in my life, Kevin, I don't know, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, through high school, bowl games were a really big deal. Hey, Penn State would play in the Holiday Bowl. People were watching it, just had to get excited for it. Hey, Penn State won a bowl game. Just using Penn State as a larger program in the Northeast. And then as we go on decades since there, I think bowl games are the biggest travesty in college sports. They're meaningless. They're horrible. Nobody wants to play in it, but they put them on for TV because they make money, understanding that. Mm-hmm. But now that we sort of went to that 12-team playoff in college football, and we still have to work out the iron, or iron out the kinks, I should say. We shouldn't be giving out, like, it should be a computer that goes, give me the best 12 teams. I don't care if Boise State went 17-0 next year, didn't play anybody. Oh, but they deserve their place at the table because they're group. No, nonsense. Just give me the top 12 teams and put them in based on computer rankings, and I love it. Which, again, does away with the exhibition season altogether. But for me as a person, I was like, you know what? You know, I don't think the kids could get paid because the college experience is what it is. You got to sit out. You know, teams play. No, not anymore. I love the new brand that we're getting now, which I think is going to ensure, once again, hey, you know what's fun? A 1 seed, a 6 seed, a 9 seed, and a 12 seed in the Final Four. No, it's not. Sounds like the lowest rated Final Four in the history of the schools is what it sounds like. You give me all number ones now, which again, limits the chance of those 4-year players at the lower schools ruining a chance like upsetting Duke in the round of 32. It's not happening anymore, Kevin. And I love it. I am not afraid to say.
I had an 11 seed in the Final Four last year. I do not understand. No, they're the same.
Well, who was the 11th seed? Who was the 11th seed?
NC State.
Yeah, but that's still a Power 5 team. Like, I don't want to see George Mason ever make a run again. Like, I want to see big-time programs making runs. That's what I want to see.
But I also imagine, Donnie, if I go back through the archives, the big issue with that George Mason team is they were probably wildly underseeded more than anything else. And like, we could have had Gonzaga here, Donnie, as an 8th seed. But they would have been wildly underseeded. I don't know why everyone feels like the reason why we are having this great Final Four is because kids are getting paid. That doesn't even make any sense. It's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard.
You're taking the talent. Like Sturts. Sturts would come back next year like, man, I love my school. Like Drake, we're making another run. He's gone. So Drake is
gone. Yeah, because his coach left. Because his coach left.
Yeah, but he's
not leaving. He would have gone back to Drake.
No, he would not have. You're getting a couple million bucks to go to another program to play. They're gone. Any player worth his salt, Kevin, from those lower schools should be in the portal every single year, and they're doing it now. And I love it because, again, some people, hey, I like old school basketball. We're not in the 80s and 90s anymore. We're in the new millennium. And I want to go to this 10th, Kevin, superpower conferences. Just give me 32 teams in college basketball. Separate the mid-majors.
FAU was in the Final Four.
Boom. See
San Diego no State in the final.
You don't want it. Nope.
Doesn't even make sense.
Take them all out.
Hey, yo!
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
On a Monday right here on the Sports Grid Network, Series 6, Channel 159. Good today. Feel rested. I got a whole week to get ready for the Final Four. Multiple days to get ready. A full Major League Baseball card today, Kevin, which I'm excited about as well. Warmer temperatures on the East Coast. Now, yesterday, did the double dip. Home studio, drove up to the studio in North Jersey. There must be a cutoff. Left yesterday, Kevin, 68 degrees. Got to Bell Works, 48 degrees. I'm like, oh, it just must have been like that shift on the East Coast. Got back home last night. It was warm again. Wake up this morning. It was warm again. But I don't know what it was, where it's just one of those things where you find things like, I wonder where it starts to turn warm, like north to south. I guess it was in the middle of New Jersey yesterday was where the cutoff was.
Yeah, it was odd because I know you said it was warm all day and then boom. That happened to me the night prior Saturday. I got there, no jacket. It was gorgeous. And then it was much later when I left the building. It was freezing though. So, yeah, we're still kind of up and down, it feels, weather-wise here in Jersey. But we're getting there. We're getting there. It's going to be April tomorrow.
Yanks bats are getting there right now. Loving it. Small ballpark. Designed to do exactly what it's doing right now, Kevin. Home runs all over the place. I love it. Bowling pins, home runs, so, points, scores, runs.
Yeah. I cannot really tolerate just nonsense. And the fact that people are, quote, tweeting Aaron Judge home runs and going, man, baseball's going to have to step in with these bats. I'm now very annoyed. I'm very annoyed. Aaron Judge isn't using the bat. Mm-hmm. We can have a conversation about the bats, right? Mm-hmm. I'll give you my takes on it, whatever. But I can't have a conversation if we're going to do, oh, man, look at this, Aaron Judge. Sooner or later, this is what we're going to hear. Judge probably been using that bat for years, and I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah. Meanwhile, he's not even using the new bats, which is great. So whatever Judge is doing is outside the realm of what the rest of the Yankees lineup is doing, which I do think is even more funny, where they use Aaron Judge hitting a couple home runs in the first few days. Like, man, that bat's illegal. He's like, yeah, it's not even the bat that everybody else has used. Like, ooh, better change my narrative quickly at this point. I want everybody to go to bowling pins. Let's go. Let's hammer them. Let's bomb away in the upper deck. I love it, man. Give me runs scored on the board. That's what we cheer for. So today, Kevin, full slate across Major League Baseball, which includes here in my city of Philadelphia, which they should bomb away. What a great opening. By the way, Phillies embarrassed themselves yesterday. You can't win every game. They went 2 out of 3 on the road. It's what it is. But the fact of the matter, Kevin, they open up with the Nationals and then the Rockies. That's like a perfect storm to get your season started in the right direction. Like, that's got to be, 6-2, 7-2. I don't know if this is a 4-game set with them. Like, right off the bat, perfect start. That's what you got to do.
Yeah, that certainly lines up for it, though we know sometimes teams can trip and fall over themselves. It happens, right? The Pittsburgh Pirates, could they be fun this year, right? That's what people were hoping. We got skins.
Angels wins.
They lose 3 out of 4 to the Miami Marlins. So it's never that easy. I think the thing that jumps right off the page, Johnny, is the dichotomy of the Dodgers and the Braves for tonight's baseball game. 5-0 versus 0-4. Atlanta gets shut out twice.
Wow, they go to the Dodgers now. Oh my.
Brave season over already.
That's not a good look. And I love it, too, because I want the Braves to be as bad as possible. Same thing with the New York Mets. So I do enjoy this. But there's ways you lose, Kevin, and there's, do we have a pulse? Did we even practice in the offseason? That's what you got out of the Braves. And last night, I ended up losing $22 yesterday on the day. At a parlay and 2 RBI props last night on the Braves. And the whole ride home, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not watching the game, but it'll buzz me, like, when something good happens. I didn't get a damn buzz the entire ride home last night. Like, what are the Braves doing? That's what the final score is like. Yeah, that's what the Braves were doing. But that's one of those where high expectations for a team, long season. But, you can't be any more demoralized. And then putting, like, San Diego's a really good baseball team. Don't get me wrong. The Dodgers are the best team in baseball. So when you're not playing, like, good baseball and you're playing up against the best of the best, tough scene for those fans, man. What are they going to boo them out of the stadium when they get home for their home? Like, hey, we're 0-8 to open the season. Home day at Truist Park. Let's go.
They play a 3-game set with the Dodgers, Donnie. Do you have that in front of you by chance? Because I just want to bring. I'm trying to figure out if the perception this team is going to be 0-8, 0-7, Dodgers, you know, 25-0.
Yeah, four straight losses to San Diego, a three-game set, 31st, April 1st, and April 2nd with the Dodgers on the road. Then they come home and get the Marlins for three. So, but then the Marlins are probably playing, they're like, hey, you know, we can make the playoffs right now. Like, we're locked and loaded. Let's see what we can do. Then they take on the Phillies for three, Tampa Bay for three, Toronto for three, Minnesota. So there's, and then St. Louis, Arizona. There's some chances to get back. But that's a tough start. Like, you almost have to say to yourself, it's a, got one against the Dodgers, man.
Yeah.
1-6.
No other way to look at it. They have to get one against the Dodgers. 100%. 100%.
Glass now.
Now it's baseball. You're supposed to get one. What's up with Rosei Sasaki? I was seeing tweets saying it's not going well for the youngster.
Yeah, he's done. I think he's done. Thank goodness. You know what I mean? Now, granted, I'm getting over my skis right now, but this was supposed to be like, oh, Sasaki's going to come over. Let's watch him opening day or opening week. I'm like, oh, look at that. Seven innings pitch. Nobody even touched the kid. And away the Dodgers go with another absolute steal. So it does. It is a little comforting where, like, his first two starts where, is he a Major League Baseball right now? Does he have to figure some things out as opposed to, oh, yeah, we just signed, like, the best pitcher in baseball overseas and he's automatically dominant because nobody's seen him pitch yet. And he gets, like, the whole season of, like, 22 starts and ERA of 1.69. Like, thank goodness it doesn't look like we're going to get that. So maybe one thing the Dodgers did right doesn't look like it's going to be absolutely sensational. So hopefully that's the case. But, yeah, he is struggling to start.
Interesting there. Yeah, I don't know. The videos, people seem to be picking on him a little bit online, which, again, is interesting there. But the Dodgers off to a red. It's crazy. Like, first World Series chance to start 5-0. You see the Dodgers at 5-0, you're like, yeah, of course. And then their historical context is like, this has never happened in Dodger baseball history. It's like, I don't really understand what's going on here.
Yeah. People are probably calling Francesa now. Do you think the Dodgers can go 162-0 like every day now? Because they probably will get 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 in a row. Let's see where that comes to, because that would be nice. As a Phillies fan again, probably not going to ever chase down the Dodgers, but at least in the wake of that, maybe can beat down the Atlanta Braves for just a little bit more. Now, let me switch, because we're going to talk a little Major League Baseball during this show. We're also going to talk a little action here coming up. Obviously, on college basketball, how it sets up for the Final Four. NBA, I don't even know if they played yesterday. I just checked on the Sixers. They got beat again and hammered. That's fantastic. Football. Interesting stories now coming up at the quarterback position for two cities. We'll get to it next on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I love radio. I love when you're relaxing. I love the fact that I have to do a morning show this morning where I can like real refreshed. Have a nice lunch right after this. Maybe do a little bit of yard work. All the sprinkler guys coming out next weekend. Whoa. To turn the sprinklers on. I already got to work like 2 weeks ago. Like things are happening. Like happiness, like for me. And Kevin understands this now, being a homeowner. Grass is going to be one of those things where you take pride in. But it takes a while. Like I remember having like a condominium that I first bought, then a townhouse. I have to do my own grass. Could care less. Little blotch of grass didn't matter anyway. But now, you know, nice, big property, a lot of grass. I take pride in it and I enjoy it. Like I like to watch the sprinklers water. Makes sense. It's great. You people are listening right now in your 20s and 30s, even if you have a house, you might not understand that. When you hit your 40s, you will understand pride in taking like your front lawn and your back lawn and things going right. I'm telling you.
So you know, I haven't again, I do whenever I remember that you like have all the documents of this house, it does crack me up.
Yeah, I do.
But the backyard, there's a, it's like, you know, like almost like a little lot, right? Where it's, you know, supposed to have nice grass. It was beat up a little bit from the prior owners that, you know, because one, they were on their way out, but they had dogs, right? Okay, fine.
Same thing as my house. Didn't have great lawn care before I got
it. So it was not something I cared about, right? We have the two dogs, they run around, they beat it up, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. You start to notice all of a sudden the dogs, they don't even like going to the bathroom. Now, that's supposed to be like their area, right? And I'm like, what's the deal here, you know? and talk to the man. She's like, I think it's because there's like no grass. And you look at it, Donnie, and it really is now just dirt. And there was just one day she had been talking to me. She's like, I really want to figure something out about this. But I don't know. Just, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out like who's going to make the tournament. Right. Like I got a block. And one day I called her. I go, hey, we got to figure out the grass back here. She's like, awesome. I'm going to kill you. Great. Because you just look at it, you go, this isn't right. This should look nice. It doesn't look nice. The dogs don't even want to play in it anymore. You know what I mean? So we're going to get it sodded, actually.
Okay.
In the back. Yeah. And then we're going to, you know, obviously have to get the upkeep to make sure it stays nice.
Here's the tough part about that, too. And I love this, too. Like, it's money line. Like, what are you guys talking about this? But trust me, people, you understand this later in life. We have a couple minutes on this. But having a couple dogs, which I do have a couple dogs, they beat up my backyard because I let them out. We don't have a fence, but it's a big yard where one of them has a halo collar, which is fantastic, where it keeps them in a certain range. Like, my one young dog, he's wild. You let him out the door without his collar, he just gets lost. Say it goes in the woods, you don't ever hear from him again. Yeah, so we have a halo collar, which is a satellite, which buzzes him at the perimeter, and he knows where to go. You can leave him out there, don't even pay attention to him. It doesn't go anywhere. Older dog could care less. Walks around that yard like, you know, I don't go anywhere. Leave me alone at this point.
Yeah.
But they crush the grass in a certain area because they like to go to the bathroom there. So just be leery of that. Like, if you don't have a huge backyard, they'll have one spot that they love in that grass, and it'll be yellow the whole summer and burned out. So just get ready for it.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird because we want it to look so nice, but it also, I want that. Like, Donnie, they're taking rocks. They're going over to the rocks because of they're like, I'm not this this sandlot, you know, thing you've left us over here. This is ridiculous. We can't use this anymore. So we're working on that. I tell you, man, it's very funny, but I think told me you're like, listen, you're getting in the house. There's gonna be a lot of stuff you didn't expect, and that's just what it is. And that's what it is. Tuesday, I think a door guy's coming. Wednesday, guy's coming with outdoor furniture.
Never stops. So, it's, all right, got that out of the way. Next week, new project. Week after that, new project. Wife's telling me she wants to do like wallpaper all over the place out of nowhere. Like, that's what we do. Never stops.
We did, we went and we were looking for cushions for outdoor furniture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all right, so we're trying to figure it out. And we got to the point where we couldn't find like the back cushions. And I turned to her and I said, listen, honestly, I don't care. Buy anything you want. We'll go home. We'll get it all online. I can't do this anymore. I cannot spend another. Mm-hmm. And then we made friends, though, with a woman in the store. She went, are you looking for these? We're like, we sure are. Angel from heaven. So then we were in business. And then we went to the outdoor furniture place. And we found some chairs and a table. So it was all happening.
Yeah. So my back patio, which is the pavers on it, we have a big table and the umbrella. We also have a smaller, like, circular table with two chairs. And then on the bottom of our pavers, Kevin, we have the little gas fire pit with the four chairs around it. Wife had to have all that. She's been outside in 3 years. Like, I'm the only one that sits up there all by myself with all of those chairs and a hot tub in the backyard. We always eat all this stuff. Yeah, exactly. That's the way it goes around here. Trust me on this. I want to talk Ravens football because something's interesting happening in the NFL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Times are changing in the NFL, Kev. They really are. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is, you know, not that the Jets actor are telling that Justin Fields is the true number one quarterback getting in the camp, because that's like a foreign thing now where Minnesota doesn't want to do that and Trey Lance never got that. But at least it's nice where you get a quarterback, you know he's the number one. Tell him he's the number one. Don't say, hey, he's going to have to get out there, Kevin, and earn it. You're going to have to earn it. No, he is the number one. But here's an interesting thing, and not that Mike Tomlin is saying he's okay with Mason Rudolph being the starting quarterback this year. That's nonsense. We'll get to Rodgers in a second also. We're at the point now, Kevin, where it's so evident in professional football, and I don't know if it's the right thing or not, because we were taught to believe, win on your rookie quarterback contract. You got 5 years. If he's good by year number two, you got three more years where you can absolutely let it sling on the rest of your roster and steal some of those years from the quarterback that when they start taking up a quarter of the cap, you can't do that. The Ravens now haven't won anything with Lamar Jackson. Have paid Lamar Jackson. At the time Lamar Jackson signed the biggest contract, I guess, in NFL history, after, you know, Jalen Hurts did it. And then it's that domino effect moving up. Mm-hmm. The Ravens now are exploring options again for another extension for Lamar Jackson. Just signed one 2 years ago. Is this the going rate where it's like, we just have to be so proactive, Kevin, that, yeah, we could get 5 years of his last deal, but if he's still a good quarterback in 2 years, we could have saved so much more money if we signed him 2 years earlier, fresh off a two-year contract extension before that. Is that where we're at in the NFL, where you might be looking at, Kevin? Good, not the bad ones. Like, hey, we think he's going to be our friend. Your franchise quarterbacks are just going to get signed to massive extensions every other year because the cap goes up so much where sooner than later, you're going to debilitate yourself if you just let these five-year rolling contracts just go through.
Yeah, I think so. We saw Josh Allen, Donnie, extended, right, this offseason. So you, if you're the Ravens, is there any world Lamar's not your guy? You did that song and dance once. Let's be honest, from the Baltimore's end of it, it was pretty embarrassing because he had to request a trade. And then everyone, the fools around the league were like, we're not that interested in him. Like, teams were falling over themselves. They're like, we don't want to trade for Lamar. I remember. That was insane. So, yeah, I think it's one of the things, Donnie, if you look at the Philadelphia Eagles offseason, right, they've largely just spent it paying guys on the team because there's a lot of security within Philadelphia. They know it's ride or die with Saquon Barkley or Lane Johnson or Zach Bond. So they get to give out these contracts and just trust those guys and hope down the road that money then will end up in a good position. I wonder, though, if there's a quarterback situation out there, Donnie, where, you know, someone wonders, hey, listen, can I give you a deal long enough but with guaranteed money where we can really lower these numbers? Because everybody is obsessed with talking about the Pat Mahomes contract and, oh, Pat's, you know, but again, Pat was given like $450 million guaranteed, like up front, essentially, right, from the Kansas City Chiefs. And he was given that a long time ago. So at the time, it was like, okay, wow, obviously things have started to bubble. But I wonder if you're a Lamar Jackson, Don, you want 10 years? What if we just give you half a billion dollars? Can we just
lifetime
lock that just in? Pay, yeah. I don't know.
We'll just pay you like you retire, spend it out over 50 years, like the Dodgers would figure out somehow to do that at that point. But I thought it was interesting. Lamar just got paid and like we want another extension. Not even Kevin A, just a restructure. Like, oh, we'll just kick some of the can, like legitimately. New contract, even more money, spread it down over 5 years, and that's just the way it is. And it's interesting because again, Lamar Jackson hasn't won anything yet as a starter, but is a very good starter in the NFL. And that's something that was like, does Jalen Hurts now say, you know, okay, well, Lamar, at least I win big time games. You know, I can do that. You better pay me as well. It's an interesting look for down the line as we see it sort of get there at that point. Other NFL talk, the owners all meeting up, coaches, general managers in one spot, usually spurns like trade talks and, you know, what's going to happen in the future, which means the competition committee, Kevin, gets together once again. And again, the hot topic is the tush push. And it says now that the ban of the tush push is gaining steam. Here's my favorite part of the equation on this. Like Sean McDermott's reasoning for it, which he reiterated again. I'm just worried about, like, you know, the safety of the athletes. And he admitted, well, we don't have any data that shows you even get injured on the play, but that's just my feelings. Is that what we're down to at this point? That's like saying for me, like if I am a Miami Dolphins fan, I go, well, Tua can't run anymore. I'm going to propose a rule that quarterbacks have to stay in the pocket. And once you get a handle on them, they're sacked because, you know, quarterbacks get hurt when they get hit. And then you go, wait a second, I got Josh Allen. Like half of his plays are scrambling outside the pocket, diving in the end zones and dominating the football game. Like, why would you? Oh, well, what? Look, it's just, I just want your quarterback to be safe. He can't leave the pocket. That's what I like here. If you told me, Kevin, and also I'll get to the second point here, that the tush push last year ended like three careers, like all the weight came down, crushed his rib cage, and everybody's on the bottom of the pile. We can't have that anymore. So you know what? That makes some sense. It's a really dangerous play. And it's not a dangerous play at this point. So when you look at the tush push and say, you can't do it because there's injuries. And the second part, Kevin, as I said, well, we don't want the calamity that we saw in the NFC title game where one bozo low IQ linebacker kept just jumping over the pile repeatedly at this point. They go, we don't want it to turn into something. So you're telling me next year, Kevin, game number one, if it's not, it's home Thursday Night Football at the link and the tush push isn't banned. The team's going to be so upset that the golf side's like 16 times in a row or something like that. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, you know? The whole thing is ridiculous. I would just say Sean McVay, incredibly soft. Anybody who is trying to ban the Tush Push is incredibly soft, and they should acknowledge that about themselves if that's where they are in this moment. Because none of them are attempting to do it for any other reason than they are trying to level the field of playing because they cannot execute it, and the Philadelphia Eagles can. That's the reality. Everybody has the option to do it. Baltimore figured it out a little bit with their tight ends doing it. The Bills had it figured out for a while until they fell all over themselves against Kansas City. Right? Jordan Love tried to do it and fell on his face.
Is that why they won fans? Like, we tried it and it just backfired on us, so we don't even want the option. Like, I don't even have to tell my quarterback we're tush pushing because I can't stand it.
Yeah, so that's what we have there. Again, it's incredibly soft. People are saying about injuries, there's no data about injuries. And let's be honest here, we're playing football. So that's a complete lie from Sean McVay. Then people who are talking about, well, you know, we're worried about pushing. This isn't a sport of pushing. That's total BS. Because I watched running backs get stuffed up at the 2 yard line. And what's that? A mush push pile gains them another 4 or 5 yards because the refs didn't blow the whistle. Right. So that's a lie, obviously. So that's total nonsense. Mm-hmm. And then we're worried about Frankie Louvu doing swanton bombs over the top of the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line. And I don't really understand why that would be a problem for the tush push when Frankie Louvu could have done the same darn thing if the Eagles were going to run a halfback dive. So. Mm-hmm. That's also nonsense. So then there's the people who go, well, we don't want to do it because it's not football. Really? I don't know. It looks like football to me. Look, it looks like football when I watch it, so they sound stupid. Here's the reality. Every single person who tries to argue they should get rid of the tush push sounds soft and silly. That's what they sound like. Soft and silly. There isn't a person on this planet that I wouldn't put on a leash and dog walk for as ever long as they want, would try and argue me that the tush push should be banned and that Sean McVay and anyone else that would like to have that opportunity. And all I know is Nick Sirianni's a real G because he said one thing that I love. And he said, I don't know how this vote's going to go, but I know Jonathan Gannon, Kellen Moore, and Shane Steichen better act right when this vote comes around. Because all three of them can thank that play for them getting themselves jobs. And honestly, I like that a lot out of Nick Sirianni. I like it a lot.
So to get that backbone. Now, what happens if you found out that Sean McDermott sent one play into the NFL on why the tush push should be taken away, and it was because a defensive lineman lined up sideways and got his neck collapsed?
You might have something. Hey, yeah.
People get injured all over the place. And I go, wait, why did he line up sideways? The best part, though, is like, you know, Cam Jurgens and the boys down, like, this guy's going to, like, we are going to push him into the goalpost right now and snap him in half at this point. I guess the leverage on that was Chris Jones, like, I'm going to push the pile off kilter, like, horizontally. And then he goes, like, yeah, we're just going to barrel roll you right into the end zone at this point. And then you see him stretching his neck on the sideline at the Super Bowl because he got crushed on that play. Oh, never ends here at this point. Major League Baseball coming up. Let's take a look at a couple pitchers based on last year's statistics. Yes, I'm going to get hammered today on a Monday afternoon. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline, place to be. It's Sirius XM Channel 1. No.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League, who catching the cook? I'm pitching.
Who said that, Kev? You don't said that? Come on. Rick Any ideas? Ross. There you go. Rick Ross. Now, when we look at pitchers in Major League Baseball, it is baseball season. We do the pro baseball show every Sunday. Why isn't it 7 days a week at this point? Well, it's Sunday. That's where it's supposed to be. 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. getting you set. All the hot topics from the week before, all the games on that day. So many people, Kevin, reach out and ask, like, what are the statistics that you like to look at in Major League Baseball, particularly from a pitching perspective? But before we get that, did you see the picture? Did you see the Lisi picture?
Yeah.
Amazing that just popped up, like, you know, a random, like, show me a trading floor somewhere. Well, you know, your boy DRS did a little investigating, zooming in on pictures and find certain things about the picture that I like. And Lisa, you have to give respect on that. Like, you know, I was a married man back then. He had some glasses on. Why is the guy next to you shout like he's eating over there with trades? And Lisa's just on the sideline. So there's a lot of questions to be answered, though, but I did appreciate that.
Yeah, Man, it looks like the other guys out there trading, Joe. Not much activity out of you.
Exactly. Like that, the very first look I got at that was that tweet. So, well, wait a second. Like, Lisi, hands crossed, other guy just firing away. Like, very un-Lisi-like. Like, Lisi should have been, like, every single person channeling. Now, who wants it at $32.22? Me. Like, that's Lisi. Like, just buying and buying and buying and buying all the way down. Didn't look like that. Looked like he was being shrewd, thinking about his next trade or investment. And then he tells him it's, like, the gold exchange. Like, I don't even know where that was even going, but who knows? You know?
Lisi, I just like that how he bets is, I think, comparable to how he is in the stock market. Mm-hmm. My favorite thing, and I learned this last year, I say this with love, is Lisi bets the NFL draft the same way he bets a game. And the way Lisi bets can be very profitable. He can hit these parlays on these wonky guys. But when he bets Brian Thomas Jr. to be the second receiver off the board, because he's like, well, everybody else is betting this way, or, well, I think he's the second best receiver. You go, well, Joe, that's not really how that's going to play out. He's like, well, I got Brandon Allen, you know, first running back off the board. Well, why? He goes, well, because everybody else is going this way. And it's like, I don't know if that's the
Is he on the telecast this year? Is he going to be on the telecast this year? Because we don't have our crew settled.
I know that.
Like, Lisi, best bets in the draft here. Shedeur Sanders off the board, number one. It's quarterback. Well, why do you like that? Because everybody's going Cam Ward.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Shedeur. I think he's got the goods.
No, it's very possible that he is betting Travis Hunter to go first, and he will tell you, I think he's the best player in this draft. And you well, but yeah, but I don't think that's really all that's being determined here in this draft. And it's all
like
right.
You could tell at least like game number one, like he's suspended for the first half. Love him even more to go over his normal game, 89.5 receiving yards, right? He only gets one half, Joe. Everybody's saying he can't get it. I think he gets it done here at this point. Yeah. So, by the way, draft is April? Yeah, right?
Yeah. Mid-April? Last week of April.
Coming up soon. The 24th, yeah, there you go.
I think it is.
Where are you guys going to be? Ocean? AC? Where's the extravaganza at? Where was it last year? Anywhere? Or just back in the...
Yeah, we were home. We had really good coverage. Are you interested in the draft this year at all? I know you're not usually a draft guy, but you have Cam Ward, Donnie, Miami, Shedeur and Hunter. Eagles pick 32nd. You won't even see it?
No, absolutely zero shot. And since Eagles pick 32nd, they'll probably trade out once it gets like the 31st
pick. That's
tough. I've waited up for nothing. Everybody wants a 32nd pick in the first round. The Eagles aren't picking there. They're out. See ya. Go back.
I move up.
Next year's draft, they have 39 picks in next year's draft. Now, that might be fun. That might be fun next year. All those bonus picks that they're going to have at that point. But no, I've no betting interest in the draft whatsoever. Like, and I'm already upset that I didn't take Cam Ward at minus like 275 to be the number one overall pick. Like, at least you put a grand on that, right? Pick a couple $100 back. Would have felt so good. I feel so dumb. Like, when we were talking about, look at his draft number, just put something down on it. So even if you can guarantee yourself $100 back, it's free money. It's like, and now it's.
You think we get one more move though?
Where somebody just puts out like a smoke system. Whoa, like somebody loves going up one.
Yeah. Not even that. Like, oh, you know what? We've heard Tennessee might like next year's quarterbacks more. And then you're like, Abdul Carter.
You know what? You're right. And that will come because it's a smart move by Tennessee to be like, we are locked and loaded on Cam. Let me just float something. Because I might get a phone call that goes, 3 1s, 2 2s, 2 3s, and the best player on our team because we love Cam. Meanwhile, I don't think that's happening, but you're right. It's the due diligence of Tennessee going like, we're drafting Cam. And like, let's just see if we got an idiot out there. There's an idiot every day. It just takes one idiot. Pick up the phone and give us something so dumb we can't turn it down, which you might get. You might get on that odds market at that point, but we'll see. But no, not a lot of interest. By the way, if I gave you, actually, it's probably too hard to ask you this question. I was going over like statistics in Major League Baseball, right? People hear like, oh, the XFIPs and the XFIP minuses and the Sierra numbers and all that stuff. They're all really, you know, molded into one, but just what you want to like look at yourself. The minuses, Kevin, like XFIP, expected fielding independent pitching. Very good concept. You throw the minus in there, Kevin, brings the ballpark into the picture, which helps you with the Colorado Rockies and people in good pitching environments, sort of levels the playing field on everything. if we take a look at those type of numbers, say, the Phillies, who were terrible on offense yesterday, fantastic on their first two games. They're at home today. It's warm in Philadelphia. If I look at some of the latest numbers, first pitch, Kevin, 3 o'clock, 15 miles an hour, blowing out dead out to right center field, and 77 degrees. So it looks like a really good day in Philadelphia. The reason I bring that up is Ramon Marquez is on the mound. XFIP minus numbers. The baseline is 100. If your pitcher is above 100, he's a below average pitcher. Below, then he's a very good pitcher. So case in point today, Christopher Sanchez of the Phillies is a 79 XFIP minus. Really good. Like 20% better than the median. You can trust that. Ramon Marquez, Kevin, a 160 based on last year's XFIP minus numbers, which means 60% worse than the average pitcher in Major League Baseball. 6.86 Sierra, 6.56 XFIP number. Like, I really think, like, the Phillies have a chance to tee off today, which, again, their favorite minus 275. But the good part is, like, I'm not a side better. So I just look at that and be like, okay, can I factor into a plus money number if I think the Phillies rake and get 5+ runs today? So fun market here. But I'm going to tell you, I'm angry at one thing so far. Sent a couple emails already over there. I need it rectified. Hey, what it is next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What's up? We were just talking to Kevin about a stats. What was it under on FanGraphs for you there?
So
live daily leaderboards. I see live daily leaderboards is up right now, where it says, like, let's just say, maybe, I don't know. This might have been just overall from people pitching before. Yeah, I get what you're saying, like the simulation, where I was like, yeah, you know what? Oh, 6.4 Ks today.
Yes.
Numbers 5 and a half, because roll with the under.
Yes, because in order to do, and now you got me pulling it up again, just praying that somehow, some way they're going to bring it back. But I don't think they are. Let's see, play tool, player graphs. I don't know. I don't see it. But basically, with the strikeout props, Donnie, they're so particular, right? So when you get, hey, they're projecting this guy for 5.4 strikeouts, right? And if you have an over 4.5 number, you know, 5.4 is awesome. Like, you might think of that, be like, oh, that's nothing. But meanwhile, if they got him at, you know, 4.9, it's like, I can't touch that, you know?
Yeah.
I can't touch that. So I don't know. I can't find it. Maybe I'll try again. Maybe I'll reach out to FanGraphs again. It was public. That was the thing that was, it was cool about it, you know? It was just, I don't know why they would get rid of it. It doesn't really make sense, right?
No, it's probably somewhere they move it around. Like, I sometimes have to get a hold of PFF, be like, what happened to this thing? Oh, we re-upped our database. It's under this and with a little bit different look. It's probably all it was.
But I'm sure emailed them twice. I don't know if it went to like spam. Like, I don't know. I emailed them multiple times.
I don't know how technical they are. Like, I don't know if they have like a department that would, you know, get back to you. Like, when you text Ken Tom, it's like, you factor in injuries. No, that's the only response you get back. So, you know, it's him doing it himself. I don't even know if, like, Angriff's like, what are you, this guy talking about? No idea at this point. But Germán Marquez is a good shot. But last year, again, didn't pitch all that much. Just factoring on the ballpark where it's at this point. Last year, Harper absolutely mashed right into pitching. Same thing with Kyle Schwarber. I think that lineup is live. I haven't put any plays in yet. First game is going to start in Kansas City, Milwaukee. Milwaukee happy to be home after getting out of Yankee Stadium alive with their pitching staff. My goodness, they get their heads torched at this point. 210 also Minnesota and Chicago, the White Sox. That is a horrendous game. Boston, Baltimore, 35, that's Camden Yards. Philadelphia and Colorado. So a little bit warmer weather, too, on the East Coast. Like, I'm assuming that, like, Baltimore's probably decent weather as well with the Phillies, looking at a little bit of rain later on, but a full schedule all the way through. I see my guy Pedro out here saying, like, what are the early plays? It's very hard early in the season. And what I was talking about, Ken, before the break is, like, still, for like, no radar in the month of April for me. It's like, you know what? I know these players are hitting well, ride a streak or two, but I don't have enough pitching under my belt, and I don't have enough splits for the hitters. But the one thing I do get angry at sometimes is I use a couple different sites. RotoGrinders, I think, is one of the best, if not the best, sites for Major League Baseball. Just look at day-to-day optics. But sometimes they're slow in updating to start the season. Like, hey, how many at-bats does Christian Yelich have? Tells me have, like, one in the last 30 days, which obviously is untrue. He's played three games. And you know, this season he has 14 at-bats when he only has like 10 at-bats. Like, I don't know where it's coming from. So it's sort of like, mm-hmm. you want to see the visualization, even if it's Kevin, hey, the guy's faced a left-handed pitcher four times, got three base hits. Okay, he's on. He's locked in on left-handed pitchers early. It doesn't mean a lot, but you ride that hot streak. I just don't like that I can't see that updated just yet. So hopefully that changes soon. I did email him yesterday and today. They did get back to me. It's a very good site. Been using them since 2019. One of the best in the business. So hopefully that changes just for my optics and my sanity. Because then it's sort of paint by numbers, man. Once you get after April, where it's May, June, July, and August, baseball handicapping for me is so simple. Like, I can go through a whole card in 15 minutes to know exactly who I want and who I want to fade. Now you're saying, oh, well, how did I do last year? And boy, that got a good start opening day. It's the same thing every single year. It's tedious in the first month of the season. It's much easier as we go. And yesterday I did lose a little bit, which I'm fine with. Had a lot of fun, had a lot of bets, lost like $20. Made a little bit back in college basketball yesterday, so I was good with that. But today, just sitting back again, I'll probably be betting anywhere between 10 to 15, like RBI props, real light amounts, just to sort of have that own tracker here. But it's just fun to have baseball back every single day at this point, so nothing serious.
Yeah, I also, I like that we got day games, obviously, with it still having an opening day feel to it. Tonight, we have some NBA games. Lakers-Rockets should be good. We also have, Donnie, what's going to be a really fascinating game. UConn USC in the women's game, Final Four slot on the line.
No juju.
The Juju Watkins injury. This is a double digit number. The Huskies are booked as favorites to win the championship. Mm-hmm. And USC is a dog. That was going to happen regardless. Mm-hmm. I think I saw 13.5 maybe. You know, this is going to be something here to see that game tonight and see Paige Becker's off the 40 ball.
Yeah, I saw that. Was it a career high for her with the 40 spot at that point?
Yeah, absolutely.
UConn back on top in this basketball game. Absolutely craziness. They should go back again one more year. Does she have one more year of eligibility, too? She can go back if she wanted to. Be nuts.
Yeah, she could, but she said she's going to go. She's going to declare.
We're out of here for Monday Line. Thanks for coming in Tuesday. We'll be right back. See you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.